Welcome back to Dealing Together. First caller?
I bought 3 sweaters to get the 4th free.
Oh, you got fleeced. Next caller?
I traded my old Samsung at AT&T for a new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus and chose my plan.
That's not a bad deal.
It is not.
Our best smartphone deals. Your choice of plan. Learn how to get the new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus with Galaxy AI on us with eligible trade-in. AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Offers vary by device. Subject to change. S24 plus 256GB offer available for a limited time. Terms and restrictions apply. See att.com/Samsung for details.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's 902-1ONG with Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling.
Hi, you guys. Welcome to another episode of 902-1OMG. Okay, I'm the most excited right now because my co-host today is the one and only Ian Ziering, my boy bestie. Oh my gosh, Steve Sanders in the house. I'm so excited you're on.
Tori, this is amazing. You've been doing this podcast for some time and it's just grown in numbers and people are listening and like, maybe you missed your calling. Maybe you should have been a DJ.
Oh my God, no.
It's not too late. Or is this, are you a VJ? Is this a video? This is crazy. It's a whole new world out there.
I'm a PJ, a podcast. I don't know. Yeah, it's a whole new world.
You're a pod jock. You're a PJ.
I'm a PJ. Yes.
I like that. And you like wear PJs. So we have something in common.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Jenny and I have been doing this now. We're on the second season. Obviously, today we're talking about episode 20 of the second season. It's so crazy to watch the show back now because it's a whole different ballgame. We all have kids. All the lessons we're seeing that happened on that show I have teenagers. But you have young kids, but it's going to all happen.
Well, I have a 9-ager and an 8-ager, so it's kind of close.
Oh, it's so true, right? Oh, my gosh. And you have 2 girls. Oh, man. So for everyone listening, like, we didn't just play, like, best friends on TV. We actually are best friends in real life, and our kids are friends, and we have a beauty business together. So we do a lot together. So Stella just turned 13 in June. And I'm not kidding, IZ. Like, the day she turned 13, she turned into a different human.
I want to hear something good. Everyone's telling me about horror stories when they get older. And it's like, they're already, like, giving me a hard time and sass talking. I mean, they're still sweet angels. And, you know, my oldest, Mia, she's, you know, still a little kid, and I'm trying to not just embrace that, but encourage it to stick around as long as possible. But my little one, Penna, she's like, oh, Dad, we can't cut my nails. I'm like, what do you mean we can't cut your nails? She's like, oh, no, I'm growing my nails. And I'm like, oh, no, we're not growing our nails. Chew me now.
Jen always said to me, because obviously her kids are older, she was like, you're so screwed when they become teenagers. And I was like, no, it's easy, but it is. It's starting. And it's like, it's crazy. It's hard to navigate. Who would have thought Steve Sanders, I mean, you're such a great dad. But who would have thought it? Like, Steve Sanders, he just didn't seem like...
This is not Steve Sanders.
I know, but that's how people know us. We're
and
always going to be...
Steve Sanders was a good father from what we saw. I mean, like, he
that's
had
true.
A baby, baby Maddie, and he was caring and loving and devoted and the complete antithesis of the way he was when we first met him. He was a brash, obnoxious, rich kid, spoiled, arrogant. Look at me, I'm Sandra D. Here's $100. Why don't you just go get out of my way? You know, and it was a nice arc from the beginning to the end playing Steve.
It really was. I mean, oh my gosh, Steve did change so much. Wait, I know the story, but our listeners don't. Can you talk us through the story of getting Steve Sanders, getting that role?
Okay. All right. So many people may know this, but many don't. So let's go through it one more time. I was 26 years old when I auditioned for 90210. I was out of college for a couple of years already. And it was a tough time. I had done a soap opera in New York City. I was on Guiding Light for a couple of years, and that ended. And, you know, what usually would cover me were commercials. I would, like, book a ton of commercials every year, and it would really pay all my bills, and it wouldn't be a problem. But this is the first time since I scored a soap opera that I wasn't working at all. It had been about a year and a half since I had booked anything, and I was having a tough time. I was living in Morristown, New Jersey. I'd bought a condo with my soap opera money, and I had my roommates, my friends from high school living there with me and paying rent. But at the same time, I was starting to see the bottom of the barrel and, you know, even second guessing whether I should buy a pair of jeans at the Gap for $40 because it was tough. Right. My father, who school teacher, a guidance counselor, started off in music, went to guidance, spent 43 years as a teacher, never really made much money, but always was able to take care of the family. When I told him I was starting to, you know, hear that distinct sucking sound of a empty bank account, he said, all right, I'll give you $1,500 a month for 2 years. And $1,500 a month is 18 grand. Considering my father was only making $45,000 a year, that was a lot of money. It may have been from savings, but like I understood the value of that money and how hard my father had worked for it. So I was like, oh, all right. But I was desperate. And anyway, so I took the check and I put it in my wallet. I didn't rush to cash it because I wanted to wait. And I was in California at the time. And I had enough. I was done with California. Everyone out there was just so superficial. Everyone, you know, everyone's in the entertainment industry. And it was just difficult. So I went back to New Jersey where I lived. And I told my agent, I don't want to go back out to California. Really wasn't happy out there. And he says, well, it's funny you're saying that because I have an audition for you. It's called The Class of Beverly Hills. And if you get it, it shoots out in California. And I said, well, to be out there, if I'm working, it's going to be a much different animal. So I'm down. I had to go into New York City to pick up the script. This is 1989, March 89. And there's no internet. There's no cell phones. We're still on VHS tape. The DVD hasn't even been invented. My father's still driving a car that has, no, we were past that. 8-track tapes. It wasn't too much before that they disappeared, but drive into New York City to pick up the script. And I remember the audition was on Lexington Avenue. No, I had to pick up the script because they were putting us on tape the next day. So I drive into New York City and I go upstairs. It was one flight to this big office and nobody was there. So I looked around and I see a sign in, a legal pad, which by the way has 50 lines on it. The legal pad has 50 lines and they're all numbered. And there were also 50 scripts waiting for actors to come in, pick one up. And there was a sign that said, sign in and take a script. So I looked around wondering if anybody was there. I said, hello. And then someone in the back real sternly said, just sign in and take a script, as if I couldn't read, or they were arrogant enough to think that I didn't have any other questions, which really was, where's the bathroom? But anyway, so I looked at the sign-in script. And I looked at the scripts and I looked at the sign-in. I remember the $800 check and my father handing it to me. And I remember not working and feeling desperate. I signed in. I wrote my name, number one. I wrote Ben Dover. And then I grabbed all the scripts and got out of there as quickly as I could. I'm running down Lexington Avenue with all these scripts in my hand, waiting for somebody to put a hand on my shoulder, and it never happened. And oh my God, I got home. I ripped out the scenes that I was going to do to be put on tape. Tim Hunter, the director of the pilot episode, very profound, very prolific director, was shooting the pilot. And I had to be ready. I workshopped my scenes. Kelly Taylor's a vicious bitch in all of Beverly Hills, all that. Workshopped it the night before, got it inside there so I could own it. And then I went into the audition the next day, and everyone that was coming in for the part of Steve, because they were reading Steve's this day, hey, do you got a script? There were none left when I got there. And I asked for a script too. I mean,
I had to.
Yeah. How do you know the lines? So I went in there and delivered what I had intended. I mean, as an actor, our victory is in the room. If you deliver, if you prepare and accomplish what you set out to do, then that's your win. You can't always be the guy. And I knew that, but I needed a job. So I went in, I did what I did. I don't really recommend it. I was kind of living on the wrong side of still in the gray line. I didn't break any laws, but ethics, I acknowledge that. I was desperate. You know, desperate times call for desperate measures. And I did what I did. But in hindsight, I think they hired the right fucking Steve Sanders.
Clearly.
Right?
Yes.
Right? Like, Get Woods is a total Steve Sanders move. That's really where Steve and I separate, other than the fact that we look alike. He's aging much more gracefully than I am, but suffice it to say, that's how it all went down. You know, that's how it went down. I flew out. I got a screen test. I was very excited. And I flew out to California. They put me on a plane like 2 days later. I was flying out there with two other actors. Both were reading for Brandon and Brenda. And get on the ground at LAX. They pick us up. They put us at the Hyatt on Sunset. And it's like 6 o'clock at night. Got to be at the executive studios at Fox at 9 a.m. I'm sitting on my bed and I'm watching Cops. And it was an episode where some like rock star's girlfriend got assaulted. And she's like in the corner of this hotel room. She's got a bedspread over her head. She's all embarrassed. The cops trying to talk to her. They're pulling it down. And I'm looking at that bedspread and I'm looking at the bed I'm sitting on back and forth. It's the same.
What?
She got assaulted in the same hotel that I was staying in. That's what I had to go to sleep on. Great.
Ew.
Wake up. It was just one of these crazy things I remember. So the next morning I wake up. My heart is pounding. This is a screen test. I'm going in. The executives are going to be there. Your dad's going to be there. Peter Chernin was there. Barry Diller was there. There was about 10, 12 executives in this room. Some were even sitting on the back of the couch, not just in the cushions. And it was packed. Darren Star was there. And I knew everyone that was in that room. I would read the trade papers. It's very important. You got to know your industry. You can't just think you're an actor and not know what's going on. I knew every face in that room from The Hollywood Reporter. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting outside on the floor outside the room. And there's a darker complected young man sitting next to me. There's a bigger blonde haired guy sitting next to me. The dude to my right, he kind of looked like Italian. He was also reading for Steve. There's me. And then there was somebody that kind of looked like Michael Politz. Not Michael Politz, Michael Cutlass. You know, bigger, blonde. Yeah. Wasn't Cutlass, though. In any event, before I had left the scene of the crime, I put Vaseline on my gums. Because I had seen once in some interview with a Miss America pageant or whatever that they put Vaseline on their gums so if they get nervous, they can still talk. I'm like, that's freaking genius. My biggest problem was cotton mouth. I'd go into a room and I'd be like, hey, how you doing? I'm on Zoom. It's like, fine, you're not bad. And I know it. You could feel your tongue and your lips hanging on your gums. Like, it's not cool. So I'm like, damn, let me try the Vaseline. If it's like Vaseline, I'm like, I'm good. So that wasn't a problem. I'm sitting outside just trying to control my breathing. Very confident in my material. I was very prepared. It's always important, people. Be prepared. I'm sitting there. I'm really prepared. Just trying to get my heart not pounding in my chest. The Italian dude is sitting maybe 5 feet from me saying his lines out loud.
Oh, that's the worst.
Like, what the hell? I say, excuse me, can you maybe use your inside voice for that? Because I hear that and I don't want to hear that. I'm here for a job and I know you are, but let's be respectful of each other's space and time and efforts that have gotten us this far. So please. And he's like, gave me some stink eye, whatever. So I just chilled. And then I look over at the big guy and he's like down the hallway doing push-ups.
Oh my gosh.
You know that guy, they're out there. Maybe the chicks don't do that, but like this dude was like busting out, getting his push-ups in for just get him piked, get him in the right state of mind, get him in that peak state. The door opens and the guy to my right gets called in. And I'm just sitting there. But I can hear inside the damn room, right?
Yeah.
And everybody's laughing. It's not a great sign when you're outside the door and they're laughing at the dude who's your competition. Like, laughing. And he was in there for what seemed to be an inordinate amount of time compared to the material that we were there to audition for.
Right.
So already I'm like, Chill. It's okay. He comes out, the door opens, the divine light shines. He walks out. He's got this look on his face. He's not sure if he had brain surgery or not. So I don't know if they were laughing with him or laughing at him. So he becomes irrelevant in my mind game because he's not confident. Ian, are you ready? I said, yeah, let's do this. And I stood up and I walked in the room and I was taken back. Because the room was packed and I recognized Aaron. I recognized, you know, Barry Diller, Peter Chernin is in the room. All these other young execs that were there. Some had notepads. There was no cameras at this point. This was your live theatrical audition for the network. And already I'm starting to feel my heart start to pound in my chest. And, the casting agent says, oh, this is Ian Ziering. He flew all the way here from New Jersey. So everyone, oh, welcome. And your dad was so gracious. Ian, thanks so much for coming out here. I can't wait to see what you brought us. So I said, okay, well, great. I want you all to pay close attention because there's going to be a quiz after this.
You said that?
It was just enough to break the ice. They all laughed. And I said, I'm just kidding. But it eased me. And I think it made me more accessible because I went out on a ledge and was vulnerable for a moment before I delivered the material that made me Ian TV's Ian Ziering. I did my three scenes. I got some chuckles. I accomplished what I had set out to. I wasn't getting the laughs. That first dude was getting, wasn't in the room as long as everybody. Aaron says, he stood up, shook my hand. Thanks. Does everybody talk like that when they do Aaron? Thanks so much for coming.
You're nailing it. I mean, Yeah. Everyone always tries to do his voice, but like you're doing exactly.
Well, he's so distinct. He was such a gentle man and like stood up and shook my hand and his pipe in his mouth. So much for coming. Did a great job. And by the way, people, that's the kiss of death. When someone says, thanks for coming. You want to hear that shit. You want to hear like, wow, that was really awesome. You shed new light on stuff. You really elevated the material. That's what you want to hear. When you hear thanks for coming, it's like, wah, wah, wah. So
Joanna Ray was the casting director.
Joanna Ray, right. She's the one who opened the door, and the divine light shone over her shoulders, made a silhouette. She said, "Ian, are you ready?" I walked in, but right, Joanna Ray. So I said, "Well, listen, everybody, thanks so much for this opportunity. I love the material. I wish you all the best, whether I'm playing the character or not. This is going to be a huge hit. Thank you." And I walked out. And as I passed the big guy, you know, almost shoulder to shoulder, as he was getting called in, he looks at me and goes, "How'd it go?" And I went like this: "It went great." This is a competitive business, people. You got to do everything you can to stand out. And I look back with some, I can't say I'm regretful for doing it. I acknowledge that it wasn't the right thing to do, to take all those scripts. But, you know, telling that guy to mess with his head, try to shake him off his game, you got to do whatever it takes to stand out. That's the story of how Steve Sanders, how I got to play Steve Sanders. I got the part the next morning, and we started filming 3 days later. It was the party scene up at that mansion in Beverly Hills.
Oh, my gosh. It was the night scene. Was that our first? Yeah. All-nighter.
All-nighter. All-nighter. Kelly Taylor's the biggest bitch of all Beverly Hills. Blah, blah, blah. Brian stealing my Corvette. Some, like, being intoxicated and seeing some kid with dreadlocks over me saying, like, "There's a spider on your head," or whatever. I don't know what I was talking about. I was just improvising away.
You did, right? A lot of that was improv, those scenes. Oh, my. You were so good.
Gosh. It's just fun. It's just fun.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger. Feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, everyone. So as you can imagine, we know a thing or two about makeup. We've pretty much tried it all.
And we are really liking Thrive Cosmetics because they have a full line of makeup perfect for an everyday look refresh.
They have clean ingredients that feel great on your skin. And their products are foolproof, which makes it easy for any skill level to apply.
And it's really cool to know that Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive.
Oh, I love that connection. See that? Plus, how cool is it that their high-performance formulas are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free?
Amazing. And they have zero parabens, sulfates, and phthalates.
I really believe when it comes to makeup, beautiful eyebrows are so important, don't you think? Their Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner helps you achieve your ideal eyebrow look.
And their easy-to-use waterproof pencil holds like a wax and blends like a powder.
Ooh la la. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back.
Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/90210.
That's Thrive Cosmetics, CauseMetics.com/90210 for 10% off your first order. Relive the magic of the iconic pop culture, music, and fashion of the 90s on the 90s Cruise. 5 days of concerts with some of the decade's most iconic stars, nightly theme parties, celebrity interactions, and all-out 90s events and activities.
Over 25 concerts and live performances starring Blues Traveler, Collective Soul, Gin Blossoms, Everclear, Lit, Color Me Bad, Lisa Loeb, Fastball, CNC Music Factory, Jesus Jones, Digital Underground, Sophie B. Hawkins, and more. Hosted by MTV DJs, Downtown Julie Brown, Matt Pinfield, and Lisa Loeb.
Taking place January 31st through February 5th, 2025 on Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas, which will be completely transformed to take you back in time for a nonstop 90s action. The 90s cruise will sail from Tampa and head to amazing stops in Cozumel and Costa Maya, Mexico.
Head to the90scruise.com to book your cabin.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, it's Jana Kramer. The iHeartRadio Music Festival is back. Join us for the official iHeartRadio Music Festival pre-show podcast hosted by me, Jana Kramer. It's going to be a blast, and we will have all your favorite celebrities and artists joining, such as Chrissy Metz, Debbie Gibson, Joey McIntyre, Donny Osmond, 98 Degrees, Teddy Mellencamp, and so many more. Get your tickets today at onlocationlive.com. Let's get lucky.
So you were number two going into the room. There's a theory out there that they always put the one they want the most in the middle position. Do you think that's true?
I don't know. I'm seldom in that casting position. The times that I've produced and cast, get in the room just whenever. You know, I when you're seeing people for the first time, I don't know. I don't know. It's not what I've done in the past.
So wait, you didn't go back home then?
No, I stayed out there because they told me if you get the part, pack your bags. We're going to be starting shooting 3 days later.
So did someone have to ship your stuff out, or you brought everything?
I brought a suitcase with me. We shot the pilot in what, 12 days, 10 days?
Oh, that's right. I'm thinking series. Yeah.
Yeah. And then that was the end of that. And I went home, back to Jersey, and the pilot aired, I think it's September, and we got trashed in the press. We got such horrible. Oh yeah. We got really poorly reviewed. It was bad. And I thought, well, okay, got this under my belt. What's next? Because I didn't think it was going to go. Mm-hmm. And then Fox picked it up. A couple of years after that, they were ordering two seasons at a time for several years and double ups, and they couldn't get enough of 90210.
It's so true. Wait, I just want to go back. Yeah. I want to ask you about, because I remember this. So there was a read through at my dad's house. And I remember because my dad
said,
I was
like, in between my audition and when we started shooting, we did a read through with the finalized cast.
Right. So that was the first day you met everybody.
Everybody, yeah.
Wait, Gabrielle tells the story. Did you guys go out to lunch afterwards or?
We did. We went to Chin Chin on Sunset.
Oh, that's my favorite. Sorry.
Yeah. Haven't eaten there in 100 years, but it's still there. Got to know Gabrielle, very early on. And I think at that table, I realized, wow, she's a nurturing soul. She's incredible. And was very happy to be working with her. This is someone that's going to have your back, you know, and she's always been that steadfast voice of reason, mother hen almost, you know,
definitely,
to go on to be like the president of SAG after it, no less.
So what was it like meeting Jason for the first time?
Jason was a nice guy, completely nice, long hair, you know, was smoking cigarettes at the time, bit irreverent, but dashing. Handsome, like, great. This is awesome. This is a good looking kid. Chick's going to die for him. This is going to be awesome. I hope he can act. Yeah. And he delivered in a big way. Jason's the greatest.
He is. So I mean, when the show started, Brian was younger. So the guys, like, I feel like everyone was kind of separated on set a little bit. Like, the guys hung out with the girls, and then Brian kind of was, like, navigating both worlds, feeling like the younger kid.
Yeah. Well, Brian, right off the bat, felt more like a younger brother to me. I was 10 years older than him, 10 years older than you, too. So it's, like, it's kind of hard to relate to a 16-year-old when you're in Hollywood on like the number one show in the world. It's not like you guys are going to go palling around town together. So there was a distinct divide, but it was only because of the chronological difference between us. As we've both gotten older, Brian and I, you know, that divide has separated. Brian, I love Brian. I would take bullets for Brian. Not one. I'd get up and take another because Brian's the greatest guy ever.
It's true.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wait, okay, so the show gets picked up. When was the first time you got recognized out in public for Steve?
I had my car shipped out. No, I drove out. When we got the pickup, I had plenty of time. Drove out. I had an Acura Integra, and the license plate said EYE space AN, because I was sick of people calling me Ian. It's a bane of my existence, Dory. I don't give a shit anymore. Call me. I've been called worse than Ian. I don't care anymore. You don't know my name. Okay, whatever. My friends and family know my name. So I'm driving. I drove out and I'm like driving around, and we're like, episode 6 or episode 7 had already aired and the show is like gaining in popularity. And then I got followed because people recognized me, and then it validated from the license plate. So yeah, it was like early, like mid first season. And then I had to get a new license plate because it was stupid. And I knew it was stupid to have my name on a license plate. I'm like,
that's so crazy. You had that license plate. And then Steve's famous license plate was I ate a Ferrari.
Yeah.
Like that's so.
Yeah.
Wait, did you tell them the story of your license plate and that's how they came up with that?
No. Tim Hunter asked me if I had any ideas for a license plate because he wanted to do a cool shot of my Corvette pulling right into frame, which was in the opening titles. So a few weeks before, I saw a Porsche in New Jersey that said I8A4RE. And I'm like, perfect. So that's where it came from. I told Tim, and like 2 days later, I ate a Ferrari.
Oh my gosh. Iconic.
Yeah.
So crazy.
And I don't even have that license plate. It exists in California. I think it's on a Corvette somewhere. But like, shouldn't I have that plate?
You don't have it?
I don't. And I'm willing to go buy a used 90 Corvette just to have it on that car. It's like,
how do we find it?
I don't know how we find it. The DMV can, there's ways. I mean, if you know what the license plate is, it can be tracked.
We should look into that. Memorabilia. You have memorabilia from the show at your house.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
He does.
Yeah. What about you? I want to know what you have at your house. You have any memorabilia? You got clothes. Clothes?
No. Okay. So I have a couple pieces of clothing. One, a fan gave me at a book signing, which was the lip dress I wore. And then Darren Martin, he's given me a couple pieces. But I didn't have anything from the show originally. I got the one. I think I took home the glasses from David and Donna's wedding they gave me.
Oh, that's nice. That's a nice keepsake. You still have them?
You know what my house looks like. Do you think I can find them?
Oh, my God, Tori, that's priceless.
I know. I think they're in store. I don't know where they are. Oh, God. But you have one of the mini jukeboxes, right?
Yeah. I've got a jukebox that was on the counter of the Peach Pit. And walking out, when they wrapped that set, everybody clapped because it was the last time we were working in the Peach Pit. And I literally had to tear it off the counter because it was glued to the formica. And I don't know who's producing or whatever was on set that day. Where are you going with that? And I turned around like, we're done, right? I'm going home. And like, well, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm going home. Nobody said anything else. And I turned around and walked out. I kind of like game of chicken with everybody. Like, who was going to tell me put that down. Like, I was waiting for it. No one had the balls to say, don't take it. So I just kept walking.
See, I wanted to do that. I was scared. My last
scene in the Beverly Beat, behind Steve's desk, there was this bookcase that it's a small bookcase. Maybe it's 2 feet across. The books inside it are old, leather bound, but it's fake. The books, it's a facade. You push on one side and it spins around to a bar. It was the coolest, like, set piece ever. I snarfed that too.
What?
And you know what? Yeah. You know what? At the end of the day, you know, nobody said anything. They wanted me to have it. You know, they gave it to me.
Of course.
Because I was called on all this stuff. All this stuff, as you know, went to auction. Before we ended, they came into every set. People, they came into every set and took pictures with this advanced camera that does a 360. I don't know, maybe if you've ever looked at a real estate listing where you can walk into a room and look. They did that in every set. And literally everything was auctioned off. Everything auctioned off.
Oh my God. I don't remember that. I remember the clothing was off. Did you keep any wardrobe pieces?
I have some wardrobe pieces. Yeah.
Oh my God. Steve, I mean, can we talk about your wardrobe on the show?
I had a couple silk shirts, you know, really nice button down silk shirts that we cut the sleeves off just to make it a little edgy and arrogant and, you know, proper for the time, but like boys were cutting their shirts off and cut them up, but like nobody cut a silk shirt up. Steve Sanders did, but you know, it's pretty funny. I still have that. It's green. Got another purple silk shirt. Steve wore a lot of silk shirts buttoned up to here. What else do I have clothing wise?
Any of your tank tops? You wore a lot of tank tops because you have a great body. Sorry. I'm allowed to say that.
The tank tops. No, that's another thing that's like the bane of my existence.
Why?
Those tank tops. Oh, God.
Which ones? The crop ones?
At the time, it wasn't a thing. But, man, if I could go back and change one look, there's a couple looks I would change. No crop tops at all. As a matter of fact, I made that joke when we did BH90210 when I got to speak to my younger self. I told him, don't ever wear those shirts again. Throw them out. Trust me. And then I think I'd go back and maybe put a mirror in my dressing room. Yeah. So I could like realize that, dude, what are you buddy? Like my younger self, maybe I would have realized if I knew what I was doing, that I was buttoning my shirts to the top just to be, I was looking for any way to set Steve apart.
Oh, it was a choice.
Oh, it was an active choice. It was active choice, but it was a choice to create an air of distinction that he had for himself, you know, that he thought he was cool, that he could do that, and no one else did it. So it kind of made him, it was an arrogant move.
Sort of.
It was kind of an arrogant move, but I'm like, I'll just own it, whatever. As he grew and we got to know him, that kind of changed when he was really surrounded by the friends who helped mold Steve to who he was. So it was all a choice. Nobody was telling me how to dress, what to do.
But you know what? Everyone talks about Steve's outfits. Bad or good, they're talking about it. So that's a good thing.
And we used to bust Brian's balls about the shirts he would wear. Everything looked like a damn awning.
Oh my God.
Like, what kind of material? Is that canvas? What the hell are you wearing, Brian? He's like, oh yeah. I'm like, and there'd be stripes on it. And Diane, remember Diane?
Sure do.
The wardrobe costume designer? I don't see Brian.
Oh my God.
I don't think you would dress him like him, do you? Seriously.
So you don't funny. Like him.
Brian's, so funny. Anyway, it was a choice for Brian too.
Oh my gosh. Well, it was just announced Brian's going to be on Dancing with the Stars.
going to tear up that dance floor. Brian can dance. Brian's got rhythm. That dude can move. I don't care what athlete they have out there. Brian's got rhythm.
He does.
And Brian can move as good as anybody. I'm going to bet on Brian. I'm going to go to Las Vegas and put a bet on
Brian. He's going to do great. Oh, my gosh. I mean, you were no on doubt. Dancing with the Stars. I came and watched you.
Oh, it was you were so, so difficult.
Good. You
it
were so brutal. Good, though.
Well, thanks. I made it to the semifinals.
You did.
I learned a few things, and I had fun. You know, I raised some money for charity, earned a few bucks myself, learned some skills. I had a blast.
Great
Brian's
workout.
Brian's going to crush it, though. Great workout. I lost weight. I got really thin. But that's because all I wanted to do was rehearse. I just wanted it because that's the way I learned. Repetition.
Yep.
So that's what it's all about for me.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the episode. And IZ, you have the best story, so we want to hear some more fun stories and memories.
Relive the magic of the iconic pop culture, music, and fashion of the 90s on the 90s Cruise. 5 days of concerts with some of the decade's most iconic stars, nightly theme parties, celebrity interactions, and all-out 90s events and activities.
Over 25 concerts and live performances starring Blues Traveler, Collective Soul, Gin Blossoms, Everclear, Lit, Color Me Bad, Lisa Loeb, Fastball, CNC Music Factory, Jesus Jones, Digital Underground, Sophie B. Hawkins, and more. Hosted by MTV DJs, Downtown Julie Brown, Matt Pinfield, and Lisa Loeb.
Taking place January 31st through February 5th, 2025 on Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas, which will be completely transformed to take you back in time for a nonstop 90s action. The 90s cruise will sail from Tampa and head to amazing stops in Cozumel and Costa Maya, Mexico.
Head to the90scruise.com to book your cabin.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Hey, I'm Bethany Joy Lenz.
I'm Hillary Burton Morgan.
And I'm Sophia Bush.
And we are doing a virtual event in September in honor of One Tree Hill Day, September 23rd.
OTH Day for the OTH fam. And this podcast family is going to be benefiting Kind Campaign with this event. They work to end bullying in schools, and we just love them.
That's right. The Drama Queens are so excited to hang out with you guys on our very special day. So all the information is going to go up on loopedlive.com. There is more information coming soon.
That's LOOPED live.com.
The Drama Queens are coming to you live from the iconic Beverly Hilton Hotel. That's loopedlive.com for tickets.
should we jump into the episode? It's so fascinating hearing stories from you that I forgot to talk about the episode.
Okay, let's talk about the episode.
My God, I could listen to you tell stories all day long. You need to write a book. I mean, you could write several books, but like your stories, I love your stories so much because you can visualize what's happening. You talk us through every, like, you remember dates, you remember what people were wearing, and that's a great storyteller. Like, your stories remind me how my dad used to tell stories.
That's a big compliment. Thanks.
It's true.
Maybe one day.
Okay. Season 2, episode 20, Competitive Edge. I'm going to have to put on my glasses. They don't make my eyes look as big as your glasses, though.
I got new glasses. That shit was so funny when you guys were busting my chops. Oh, my God.
You guys, so this time around, when we did BH90210 and we all were back together, it was so amazing. But we all realized that we all now had to wear glasses. And we're like, oh, wow, look at this. We're all looking at our lines and we're all wearing glasses. And Ian's were the biggest of them all.
Well, oh, my God. But the like the CVS, whatever, I'm losing glasses all the time. I don't even know what my prescription was, but it was huge. Still is. And Brian said, Zay, like, yeah. He's like, you might want to rethink those glasses. I'm like, why? I like the frames. I don't look good. And he's like, dude, you look like Urkel. Did I do that? And he made fun of me. And I'm like, shut up, Brian. And I asked you and Jenny, and you're like, oh, yeah, you got big, 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 huge eyes. That's just, no, those you just. And then we went out to dinner, and I made you put the glasses on so I could see. Tori, should I send you the picture? I've got a picture of you and a picture of Jenny wearing my big eyeball glasses.
Yes, send me the picture. Oh, my gosh. Our eyes were like this big in your glasses.
Yeah.
I got
3 things I could send you from that night that are very funny. You can share them if you want.
Do it. Oh, my God. We had so much fun that night. We laughed so hard. Oh, my gosh.
All right, this episode.
Okay,
and
sorry.
Tonight's episode.
Okay. Back on track. Here we are. Yes. Season 2, episode 20, Competitive Edge, air date was January 23rd, 1992. Synopsis, Brandon trades his reporter's pen for track shoes until he smells a story he can't and shouldn't ignore. And Brenda's minor accident turns major when the woman she bumped claims whiplash. It was directed by David Carson. Writers were Darren Star, Charles Rosen, and Jonathan Roberts, starring us. I know you remember this episode. I know you watched it back, but you probably remember everything from it.
What's interesting, I didn't watch the show when it aired. We were busy working. Come home and sleep. My mom would fill me in on what was good, what was she didn't like about my parts, of course. And it's only later when it ran that I would see certain episodes. I had not seen the entire episode and the entire series back front to back.
Same.
So fill me in. Competitive. Okay. Was that when, like, there were steroids?
Okay, so Brandon gets, he's there to do a story, but he gets onto the track team. You had a lot of tank tops in this episode. The gun show was smoking, just saying. Does that embarrass you?
No, but the way you say that is just so funny.
Oh, my God. You had the best body. You still do. Okay, so the track team. Wait, did you have to do all of your own stunts?
What stunts?
I don't know. You were
there
in
was
track.
No stunts? Jumping around?
Yeah.
Really, too? It's not like they were having us fall off the top of the school.
Oh, we always wonder when there's scenes where there's like a fight. Like, there was one scene on campus where you're in a fight. This is not this episode. But Jenny and I were like, wait, that looked real. Like, it looked like a major fight.
The major stuff, we would have stunt players come in to choreograph it because people would get thrown around and they didn't want to see us get tossed to the ground. It was a liability. You know, they would write these big scenes and they would shoot them in a way that it would be maybe Jason punching somebody or me punching, and you'd see me wind up to throw it, but you wouldn't see who I was hitting because they would put a wig on somebody and, you know, it can be fake.
Then
with the magic of Hollywood, you can fake it real. Yeah. with editing, it looked amazing. Yeah. And then, but like falling on the ground, you can't really fake. Or falling into a fountain, no, you can't really fake that. That stunt players do that.
Well, the scenes always looked good. Okay. So yes, this is the episode about steroids, which it's like an after school special.
This is with Cutlets, right?
Was Cutlets in this one? That was his first episode. Michael Cutlets.
Yeah.
So Michael Cutlets, who, wait, what was his character's name? Oh my God, I'm blanking out. Tony Miller.
Yeah. Michael started with us as a carpenter, building sets and scenes, and he was the nicest guy. You know, I think he was our age, maybe my age at least, or a couple years older. And, you know, we'd see him at lunch. He's the nicest guy. He was an aspiring actor. And one day he got a chance and he booked the part of Tony Miller. Nuts. And then all of a sudden, the dude is building the sets. I'm working with him. It was great. We're all so happy for him.
It's such a great journey. And now, oh my gosh, I'm a huge Walking Dead fan. And when I saw him on The Walking Dead, I was like, oh my God, are you kidding me? Like, just so proud of his journey. Yeah.
He's done some great, great stuff. Really a talented actor.
He really so is. I think he's going to be on our show, on our podcast. So that's very exciting. So there's Track. They want Steve to start taking steroids. What do you remember from this?
Not much.
Which is super rare, you guys. I always talk on the show how you remember even more than me. Like, you remember details. But we were talking about this the other day at lunch.
We did 296 episodes, Tori. We did.
See, I don't even remember that's how many we did. See, you know the exact number.
I didn't really watch the series. We were busy working in it. My greatest memory from that was being so happy for Michael Cutlets, who was a hell of a nice guy, who was, you know, a struggling actor and like made it to the show. That was like the biggest thing. I think I remember that Steve wouldn't take the steroids. Mm-hmm. I don't think he did take the steroids.
No.
But I don't know how it unfolded with the rest of the team going down for taking those steroids.
I don't either. I'm not gonna lie though. Whenever I see Steve and Kelly together, I want them to get back together. Watching it new now as a fan, this time around, I really, really like Kelly and Steve.
One in the heart, not one on the chart, though.
I just wish that they had like rekindled and at least had one or two episodes together again, just so we could really play that out.
Well, they were good friends. That was nice. That's what the relationship morphed into. And I think like they were never destined to be together. You know, we never really even saw them together because that relationship ended before the show started. That was the pre-life of those two characters. And in its genesis, it really just turned into tremendous respect and appreciation. Kelly always knew that Steve was there for, would crawl through broken glass to do whatever. He still loved her.
Yeah.
But accepted that this is not going to go any further. And, you know, I think Kelly really cared for Steve in that way, in that same way.
So, okay. So if you had to choose, because everyone, you know, team Brandon, team Dylan, who would you have seen Kelly ending up with? I mean, I guess we kind of know who she ended up with, but.
Well, Kelly and Brandon.
Yeah.
And Brenda and Dylan.
Yeah. Okay. Same.
Yeah. I think so.
I think
and
that's how
Steve it's and Janet and Donna and David. I mean, yeah. What an incestuous group we were to have grown up together and all married. Like, what the hell?
That's called a TV show.
Yeah. They couldn't afford to bring in any more core characters in.
Oh, my God. Janet, Lindsay Price, who I still adore her and still friends with her. Like, I love her. I loved them. You know what, though? I'm just going to go on record. I really loved Steve and Claire together, though.
Yeah, that was a fun, I don't know how many episodes we did together, but Kathleen was great to work with. She's beautiful and just brought that, you know, that elegance to whatever she was doing. She had this like Audrey Hepburn-ness about her that I always just like looked at her like, oh my God, she's stunning. And she was talented.
You guys were just really funny. I liked the humor of Claire and Steve.
Yeah. I got to have a lot of fun. Steve was fun with her.
Oh my gosh. I loved whenever you did anything funny on the show. I loved it.
There was an episode where when we went to Palm Springs and Steve like hit on Elle and he's making out with her and like finds out that she's a guy, probably found out by Braille. And later she shows up dating the chancellor. And we're, yeah, oh yeah.
What? Wait, what?
Elle, in a later episode, shows up and the chancellor's all crazy. Chancellor was Claire's father.
Mm-hmm.
And he's all excited about his new girlfriend. And there's a banquet dinner that he invites Claire and Steve to. And when we get invited to the event, we go. Kathleen and I are we're like laughing. This is going to be a really funny scene. So we go and we're introduced to Elle. And there's a reveal. And Steve, oh my God. And all throughout dinner, Steve is trying to tell Claire that that she is a him. And that's not, that your father's being played here. And she wouldn't have it. You do anything to wipe that smile off my father's face, I will never, ever talk to you again. Just as they're serving us food at the dinner plate. And I said, well, tell me, does your father prefer mussels or clams?
Oh, my gosh.
And that made it into the show.
It did? Oh, my God. See, now I'm going to know the backstory when we get to that episode.
Oh, so funny. So, so funny.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to do some fashion and our rapid fire game. Oh, yeah. So we had some fun fashion in this episode. Memorable standouts, well, for me at least, were Kelly's workout tee. Steve had some cutoff sleeves, which you talked about. And Steve's leather jacket. Do you remember the leather jacket from this episode?
I don't remember any of that fashion.
Yeah, your jacket was good. You should have kept that one. So did you have any favorite lines from this episode?
There were a lot of great lines. You know, if there weren't, then I would try to improv something. And sometimes that would fall flat more often than not. There was one in this one. What did he say? He said, you know, she brings out the best in me or something like that. That was really tender and heartfelt. So, you know, there was a plus one for Steve. It wasn't any moment, but it was nice. There's one line that really exemplifies Steve Sanders. And it's, I'm not spoiled, I'm privileged. That line comes back to me when I think of Steve Sanders. Hey, we met him.
That's so true. That's such a good line.
Yeah. It's great.
Now, before we go, we always play a rapid fire game. If you do not want to play this, I understand because it's very like it's our lives, but Jenny and I have done it. Who is, obviously you could say yourself, but who is your favorite cast member?
You know, I've grown to love everybody. I think during the time we were filming, I hung out with the guys. You girls did your own thing. So I was close with the guys. And then, you know, as Brian, the age difference seemed to be less, it was Brian. And then, you know, the girls were always there. And I loved you guys too. It was a family. You guys are all like family to me. So it's not like, you bump heads once in a while, you get over it and you move on. It's the family.
It's so true. Like when we first started the show, you felt like a big brother to me. Like all the guys, I was just like, oh, okay. I would hang with Brian, but like you and Jason and Luke just seemed like the cool kids, like the guys doing their own thing. And then by the end of the series, yeah, you and I were friends. Like we would go out on the weekends and hang out and we'd do our like group things. Like yeah, it was so cool.
Such a young girl when we started, you know, I still look at you as like a youngster. You're getting there, but like, still you're like, you know,
but it was nice.
You've blossomed into a mature woman and clearly you're not, you know, I don't think of you as a young girl anymore, but it's like, we've gone through the fire together,
yeah,
you know, but it all started. We were at a very formative age where we were so young. I knew Luke from New York. So I had a previous relationship with Luke. Mm-hmm. We were friends before the show started. So that was nice. But yeah, it became family. You work with somebody at that age long enough, you kind of know the roadmap to their journey. And if you're on it with them, then you bond, and you bond as fam.
You're stuck with me for life. That's how it is. Okay. Thank you. Kiss, marry, or kick to the curb? Character-wise, just character-wise.
Oh, are you going to tell me, or am I going to have...
No, like, it, so based on the characters, who would you kiss, who would you marry, and who would you kick to the curb?
Of the core?
Yep.
Oh, I'd marry them all.
Good answer.
Absolutely. I'd marry them all. Are you kidding? With the chicks, we'd have, like, beautiful families together. The guys that I would marry, it'd be... We would take care of each other, but they could be free to do whatever they wanted, because... Whatever.
Good answer. And we know Team Dylan or Team Brandon, we know how what you said about that. That's you answered everything else. That's it. One last thing. Can we talk really quick about our beauty business that we do together? Because who would have thought that we would be working together as actors, and then 30 years later, we have a global beauty business that we run together.
You know, as actors, every gig's got a closing curtain, and it's tough out there. You know, it's especially this last year and a half, there's been such a shutdown. I started digging this well before I was thirsty. I got involved with the company that's going on 13 years ago, and it's direct sales, it's health and beauty products. And my success comes from helping others be successful. When I got you involved, you had no idea what this was all about, but you love the products.
Yep.
I've always believed that success unshared is failure. And when I was young on 90210, that meant getting my schlubby buddies into the nightclub with me. As I got older and more mature, I realized that I could spend that capital on helping raise awareness to different charities and things like that. And that's when I started really understanding the value that I could bring to different charities. And that was important to me. Success unshared is failure. Well, how could I help the charity? If I put my name on there, if I go, it'll raise interest and raise money. And money buys science, and science buys life. It was a good use of that capital. With what we do, with the celebrity that I've earned, that you've earned, we've created Team 90210, Team Tory. And people use that to help market, because people say, what are you talking about? And we're very proactive. We work with the team. Mm-hmm. We go out. We have boot camps. We travel with these people. And they're, what's so nice is that we're paying the success forward, helping people put food on the table, helping people pay down bills. Things that were aspirational are now actual purchases for these people. And it feels so good.
Okay, so you can check out our products at beautywithtory.com. And it will say on the site, if you want to join us, it'll say how you can become a member of our team with us.
Or join team90210.com. Tori, thanks for the shameless plug.
No, I said, you know, I'm not good at like promoting my own stuff. I get embarrassed, but it's really a business that we've grown together. And we change lives daily during a time when people weren't working during the pandemic. This was a business that I'm super grateful because it allowed me to bring in money for my kids and for people around the world to have something that they could keep going. And it will, it'll keep going. It's a business we can will to our kids. So we're grooming future beauty business boss babes, and we love it. All right, my friend. Thank you. This has been a pleasure.
Tori, thank you so much for the opportunity. All the people that are watching your podcast, thanks for all the support over the years. I really appreciate it. I really feel so blessed to be a part of this project that continues to be so rewarding. People tell me wherever I am, they're big fans of the show, and do I know playing and Jenny Garth, you know Jenny Garth, and it's so nice. It's really, it's a gift that keeps on giving. I'm grateful.
It's so true. There you have it. We look forward to working with you and sharing our products and paying it forward to people everywhere. I love you, and I will see you soon.
Bye, baby.
Bye. That was so fun. Oh my gosh, I loved having him on the show. I could just listen to his stories all day long. He'll have to come back. Okay, next week, episode 21, everybody's talking about it. It's going to be a really great, I love this episode. I actually remember a lot about this episode, so it's going to be really cool. We will see you next week. Love you guys. Bye.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach.
Give me great food.
Tacos.
Give me adventure.
Hiking.
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise.
Give me some smiles.
Cheese.
Give me more beaches.
Beaches.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.